Let's pray. Loving Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I wonder if you were to think of the word goodness, what is the first thing that pops into your head? See, the word good is used so frequently in our everyday lives that in some ways it means a lot more than what it was maybe initially intended. For example, how many times a day do we say good morning and good luck or good work or phrases like it's good to see you, I haven't seen you in so long, or wishing someone well by telling them to have a good day. In fact, when I used to work in retail, anytime I met a potential customer, I always ended the conversation with, now have a good day. No matter what was happening, always have a good day. So you can imagine probably how many people I told that to when I worked in retail. And I wonder if we were to think of any phrases that we've used over the last week, I wonder how many times we've used the word good in them. See, we probably use the word good a lot more than we think. And I know this morning I've already said good morning to loads of you, and if I haven't said good morning to you, good morning. But the Bible tells us that the word good means something slightly different to how we normally use it. See, the Bible tells us that it means holy, pure, and righteousness. So literally, goodness is godliness. And so this morning, I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. So goodness is described as a fruit of the Spirit, and it's not just a moral behavior, but it's an excellence of character. This goodness is seen in qualities like integrity, honesty, and uprightness, and how we care for those who are most in need. And so this goodness is only possible through God's grace and mercy. And so we humbly acknowledge the need that we need God and accept a relationship with Him. Because without God's help through the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to show God's goodness in our lives. And so the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we show God's goodness in our lives? Well, firstly, we show God's goodness by knowing that God is good. Before we can show God's goodness in our lives, we must know in our minds that God is good. Our call to worship from Psalm 107 this morning reminds us of the truth that we can give thanks to God, for He is good, and His love endures forever. The psalm was written to celebrate the return after exile in Babylon. And the psalmist is convinced that after everything that has happened, that God is good and that God is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. The psalmist has seen that in both the difficult times and the good times, that God's love and mercy has sustained and guided. And so the psalmist can proclaim with certainty that God is good and His love endures forever. So when we say God is good, we aren't describing a part of God's character. We're describing who God is. God's goodness is not dependent on an outcome or what is happening in our lives. Simply, God is good, and the goodness of God is infinitely greater than we could ever begin to imagine or comprehend. God's goodness is revealed to us generally through His creation. When we look in our Bibles, we see at the start of Genesis how God creates the universe and everything in it. And multiple times in the creation account, we see how God says it is good what He has created. And so when we look at the flowers and the trees, and when we enjoy the nice sunny day that it is outside today, we see how amazing God is and how He loves and cares for His creation. But then God's goodness is also revealed to us specially through His word, which we read in our Bibles. God calls us to know that He is good by reading His word, which He freely and lovingly gives each one of us, and to spend time with Him in prayer. I think we'll all agree it's easier to trust someone when we know a little bit about them and who they are. And so through our Bibles, we can learn more about God and his unfailing love and faithfulness. We can learn about his goodness and mercy and grace. When we spend time with God, we get to know his nature and character. And we can then rest, when we can know the rest, the peace and the goodness that is found in him, even in the midst of turmoil, uncertainty, and disruption to our lives. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "God is good, not because he causes things that seem or feel good to happen in our lives, but because in the midst of the storm, God comes closer to us than the storm ever could." And so this is why we can say with absolute confidence that God is good. This is why no matter how bad the storm is, no matter how much pain we experience, that God is good. Because in the hardest moments of life, God comes closest to us. And he doesn't change, he doesn't falter, and he doesn't quit, and he doesn't leave, and he doesn't let go. In the midst of the most difficult challenges of life, he lovingly holds on to us and lifts us up. But the true goodness and perfection of God is best seen in Jesus. God is so good and so rich in all good things, like grace, mercy, and kindness, that he saw us in need of a Savior, and so he gives us his only Son to do that job. And so secondly, we show God's goodness by trusting in the care of the shepherd. Shepherding was, and to a certain extent still is, a very common occupation for those in the Middle East. And so the image of a shepherd, it was quite familiar to Jesus' initial listeners. And so Jesus uses the example of a shepherd to show two things. First of all, to show how good God is by how he cares for his flock. But then secondly, the idea of God acting as a shepherd to his people is an image that is seen throughout the Bible. And it is seen at significant times in the story, in the history of God's people. One of those occasions is found in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, where Jacob on his deathbed says, "God has been his shepherd all the days of his life." And so Jesus is telling the people listening that he is God. And so in verse 3, we see that personal relationship the shepherd has with his sheep as he calls them by name. We tend to think of sheep as all the same, but shepherds have different names for their sheep, and they knew all the different characteristics that they have. So what Jesus is saying is that he knows us by name. He knows the burdens that we have been carrying, the struggles that we have been facing. He knows all our worries, our fears, and anxieties, and he offers that same hope and love to us today. He calls us by name to draw close to him and to know the care and the mercy that he provides. We then see in verse 4 that the shepherd goes on ahead of the sheep and calls them to follow him. So we are like sheep because just like the sheep, we are dependent on a shepherd, in every situation. We are dependent on God for everything we need for each day. The likeness is quite fitting because at times we are helpless and we have a tendency to wander, and so we get lost. And so we need a good shepherd to guide us. And so we're dependent on our relationship with Jesus. God gives us his Holy Spirit as a guide. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us and strengthens us to live for him each day. Kay Arthur, in her book A Silver Refined, says, "God knows what each one of us is dealing with. He knows our pressures. He knows our conflicts. And he has made a provision for each of us, for each and every one of them. That provision is himself in the form of the Holy Spirit, indwelling in us and empowering us to respond rightly. You've probably heard me use this verse quite a few times because it's one of my favorite verses, and it's found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And it tells us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Because of God's great love for us, we can know the mercies, goodness, and love are new each day. We can know that whatever we are facing, that he loves us and cares for us and wants us to turn to him and to put our trust in him. In verses 11 and 12 in our passage, we see the difference between the shepherd and the hired hand. Because the sheep in the passage still face danger. And when trouble comes, the shepherd, because he cares, looks after the sheep and protects them. Whereas the hired hand, the minute there's any danger, runs away. The sheep in our passage know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him, and they trust in his care. And so as followers of Jesus, we can know that he loves and cares for each one of us. Whatever challenges we face, whether it's a difficult or scary health diagnosis, whether it's the breakdown of a relationship, the loss of a loved one, we know we can trust in God and in his strength, which he gives us for each day. Holding on to the hope, we can know how good and how faithful God is, and that our hope comes from God's promises. And God's promises don't change, because God doesn't change. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, knows our every need, including our need to be redeemed and rescued from sin. In verses 17 and 18, we see Jesus point to the sacrifice that he lovingly makes for each one of us. Because of sin, we have been separated from God. And so Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come to destroy him who holds the power of death once and for all, and to set us free from sin. Through the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus has come to fully end our suffering, to help us face our temptations, and to bring comfort when we feel lost, to draw near to us in our despair, and to gift peace to our troubled hearts. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and he has come and made his home. So like the Good Shepherd calls his sheep in our passage, Jesus invites us to seek and to find him, that he might save and transform us. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so like the sheep who are content in the care of the shepherd, we find contentment in life, in our relationship with Jesus, in which our contentment is based upon the fact that God is equal to every emergency and is able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Life in Christ is more meaningful than life without Christ because of his overflowing forgiveness, love, and guidance. And so finally, we show God's goodness by learning to be more like Jesus every day. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We have the perfect example to follow in Jesus, who lived the perfect sinless life and showed God's goodness to those around him. And so when we read the Gospels, it's hard to miss just how much Jesus loved people. We see it in how he treats people and the way he talks to them. especially the people who were considered outcasts and not accepted in first century society. He treats them with loving respect and dignity. Our mission statement in Ballywellan, which we can read on the side of our bulletin, is to know Christ and to lovingly make him known. And so when we walk in the way of love, we are doing that. We are showing God's goodness around us because we are knowing the impact that Jesus has had on our lives, and we are sharing that with people around us. And because of the impact in Jesus' life, we can share his love to everyone around us. To show God's goodness in our lives, we must know a relationship with Jesus. It's impossible to show God's goodness in our lives without knowing his goodness, love, mercy, and grace. We need to trust in our relationship with Jesus as he guides us each day and helps us to grow more like him. We learn to be more like Jesus when we spend time reading our Bibles, when we spend time praying, and when we are part of a community of believers that trust in Jesus. Like the shepherd in our story, we learn to be more like Jesus by looking out for those in need, those who are struggling, and by caring for those that God has placed in our path. We don't have to look too far to see the brokenness in the world around us. And we don't have to look too far to see the hurt and the pain that comes with that brokenness. We see the impact of wars and conflicts. We see the impact of natural disasters and health issues. And it can leave us filled with anxiety and worry. But in the midst of those difficult times, we see people and aid agencies helping and showing God's love in whatever way they can. Especially this week, it has been amazing to see the goodness as people help and care for those people in Ukraine in whatever way they can. And so we too can show God's goodness to those around us in practical ways by supporting and helping those who need it most, by letting them know that they're not alone and that we are there if they need anything. Even at times, helping someone is just being a listening ear when someone is having a rough day. And there are so many other ways that we can treat people with respect and help them. And in fact, it's often the times when we least expect it that through our relationship with God, we will still point someone to Jesus. And so as we head into this new week, we can know that when we know God's goodness and trust in his care, that we can show God's goodness by loving Christ and lovingly making him known. Because there is none above him, there is none before him. All of time is in his hands. He is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise as we trust in him for each new day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that you love each one of us here this morning. And Father, we pray that you may help us as we go into this new week to know that you are good, to trust in your care, and to lovingly make you known to the people that we will meet this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.